Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope TV. Last week we talked about delayed answers to prayer. If you would like to hear that message, you can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org and click on the broadcast link. It has all of our TV shows for the last couple of years that you can check it out. So again, last week was delayed answers in prayer. And what I want to talk about today is there's something I think needs to take place. When we're seeing delays in our prayers, we feel like we're getting frustrated, discouraged, feeling hopeless maybe because we're going through a situation. Maybe we're going through some terrible, terrible times and we just feel like God isn't hearing us. I shared with you last week that there is a key to answered prayer. I believe there's a key to going through those tough times, and that's giving God praise. I suggested to you to go to Psalm 69 and to go to Psalms 116. Today we're going to talk about Psalm 69. I don't know if we'll get to 116 or not, but we're going to talk about Psalms 69. And we're going to talk about a principle that when you're going through the toughest times of your life, that's the time to give God praise and to give Him glory and to see God work and move. What you're saying, when you give God praise in your tough times, you're saying, I have faith to believe that you hear my prayer, that you hear me calling out to you. And as you reflect that faith through your praise, God can honor that faith. Now, I'm not saying it's a magical potion that if you are going through a tough time and if you just praise God and just worship Him for 5 hours, you're going to get your prayer answered immediately. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't harm you, and what it does, it builds faith in you, because if you give God praise, you start to recognize and start to see how God is a powerful God and a mighty God. You start praising God for His attributes. How can you not have faith stirred up in you? So let's go to Psalms 69. Psalm 69, for some of you, you're going to relate to this psalm. Maybe you don't relate to it today or tomorrow or next week or next year, but there's going to be a time in your life, and maybe there's already been a time in your life where you'd be able to relate to this psalm. So Psalm 69, it's going to sound discouraging and hopeless at first. Listen to it. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Just verses 1 to 3, or 1 to 2. Sounds like this person is in trouble. They got problems. They feel like they're on sinking sand. They're discouraged. They feel hopeless. Listen, verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Do you hear that? I'm weary of my crying. I can't even cry anymore. I'm too tired. I'm too just devastated to even be able to cry anymore. My throat is dry from me crying out to God. My eyes fail me while I wait for my God. While I wait for my God, my eyes fail me. Sounds like he's been waiting for a long time. I'm waiting for you, God, but my eyes fail me. I'm falling asleep. Lord, it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 10 years, and I'm not seeing the answer to my prayer. Verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Okay, listen, let's stop right there. They hate me without cause. They're more than the hairs of my head. This is talking about enemies, okay? Do you feel like you have enemies? Maybe you have the enemy of cancer in your life or in a loved one's life. Maybe you have some other sickness that's an enemy to you or a loved one in your life. Maybe you're going through a tough time at your job and it seems like everybody's against you and they're out to get you. Maybe you're in a relationship that's just turning sour and it seems like there's no hope. Listen, you feel like your enemies are against you. Verse 5, oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hid from you. Listen, it's time to confess. When you're waiting for answered prayer, you got to look and say, is there anything in me that's getting in the way? Yes, there's my enemies getting in the way. Yes, I feel weak and I feel hopeless. But is there willful, active sin in my life? Is there rebellion in my life? Am I starting to be mad and angry at God and starting to have a judgment against God? Then you need to repent. Let's keep going, though. Verse 6. Let not them that wait on you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek you be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. What it's saying, God, when people see that my prayers aren't getting answered, when the people see that you're not, it looks like you're not intervening in my life, I don't want people to stumble over all. I don't want people to stumble over that. I don't want people to get hopeless and not believe God is real when you're not answering my prayers. It's kind of putting on God, God, you better answer my prayers because people are watching. Verse 7, because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. This is saying because of my walk with you, my life with you, I've become a reproach. Because I'm trying to honor you, I'm trying to be a person that shows you honor and glory in the midst of my troubles, in the midst of my trials, but at the same time, I'm getting reproached. People are starting to say, well, if God really loved you, why isn't he answering? Maybe you hear that voice yourself. If God really loved you, why isn't he answering? Why isn't he healing your body? Why isn't he restoring your marriage? Why doesn't he deliver you from that addiction? And then others will join right in with that, along with the enemy. Listen, I became a stranger unto my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. In other words, I'm starting to become an outcast. Listen, this happens. People will look. Christians do this. You're going through trials. You're going through troubles. You're going through struggles. You're trying to do what you can do. You're losing the battle at times, but you're determined to do what is right. You're determined to have faith. You're determined to stick it out. You're determined to cry out to God, and people that don't see God working just like you don't, and then they start to make judgments, and they start to question your heart and your motives. Have you ever gone through that? Well, you know what? You'd be healed if it wasn't secret sin in your life. Have you heard that? Oh, there's so many things that Christians say at times that really is not of God whatsoever. It's actually part of the enemy. But we can see here that the psalmist has gone through trouble, heartache, feels despair. Everything's going on. Maybe you feel the same way, and you're seeing delayed answer in prayer. Now, just keep watching. Just see what happens. Verse 9, for the zeal of your house has eaten me up, the reproach of them that reproach you are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Listen, I'm even fasting, God. I'm fasting. I'm doing all that I know to do. Verse 11, I make sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. Listen, Old Testament, sackcloth was a sign of mourning. And it's saying, this psalmist is saying, I'm doing everything, and people are mocking me. People are questioning, if you're real, God, are you really real? Even as I question, are you real? 12, they that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of the drunkards. Listen, the lost are mocking me. The saved are mocking me. Everybody's questioning if God is on my side. I know for a fact somebody watching this show today feels that way. At least more than one person feels that way. Verse 13, now listen. This is a key. You hear all that despair. You hear all that hopelessness. Listen, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto you. O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me. And the truth of your salvation. Listen, even though I'm going through all this, I'm discouraged, I'm hopeless, people are mocking me, Christians and non-Christians, I'm still praying. I'm still calling out to you. And listen to what it says. But as for me, my prayers unto you, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Listen, the psalmist is saying, when it's the right time, God, I'm expecting you to answer. That's pretty submissive to God. God, I'm going through hell. I'm going through all these different things. And I don't know what in the world is going on. I don't know where you're at. I don't see any answer prayer. I'm feeling hopeless, but God, I'm still calling out to you. And God, I still have faith to believe at the right time you're going to answer. Can you have that kind of hope? At the right time, God is going to answer. That's faith. That's faith. You want to see answer to your delayed prayers? Walk in faith. Just keep going. It says, have mercy on me. Verse 13 again is, have mercy on me. Oh God, I need your mercy. God, I'm starting to feel bitter. I'm starting to feel anxious. God, I'm starting to question you. God, be merciful to me. Don't hold it against me. God, I'm just a broken human being. And my throat is parched because of my crying out to you. God, please still be merciful to me. Verse 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Listen, right there. You see, it's something that's taking place now. What's starting to take place? There's starting to be some praise that's starting to be. How do we know there's praise? It's starting to call who God is. Listen what it says. Your loving kindness is good. God, you're good. This don't feel good what I'm going through, but God, you're good. God, you have multitude. I'm asking for you to give me multitudes of your tender mercies. God, I know that you're tender. I know that you're merciful. God, I'm asking for your mercy. Notice what the psalmist is doing. The psalmist starts out complaining, grumbling, saying, this is what I'm going through. This is the heartache I'm going through. All these different things. Then what happens? The psalmist says, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. The psalmist is starting to praise God. Verse 17, hide not your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near unto me, my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You have known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Listen. There's a place here where the psalmist is just crying out to God. God, I'm confessing to you. This is what I'm going through. This is the heartache I'm going through. God, I need your help. And we need, when we're in the midst of prayer and it doesn't get an answer, don't stop praying. When you're not seeing the answer to your prayers, keep on praying. Keep on crawling out to God. I asked for comforts. They gave me, verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Instead of people comforting me, they condemn me. Instead of people comforting me, they try to make my life worse. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that's what goes on. Now we're going to look at what is taking place next is in verse 22. Again, this is Old Testament. It's going to be a little bit different than how we should handle things in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see many times there's talking about getting our enemies. That we come against our enemies. Now I want to tell you, we should come against our enemies. The enemies is Satan and his demonic beings. The spiritual warfare, that those who are coming against us in the demonic realm, that's what we need to come against. And then our enemies that are in the flesh, we're going to talk about what to do about that in just a moment. But I want us to just hear what the psalmist has to say about their enemies. So this, look at it. This is in verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, and they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him who you have smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom you have wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. Just stop right there. That was where we're at. Verse 29. So verses 21 to 29. Now I want us to go back. This does not sound like Christianity, does it? This sounds like Old Testament, because it is Old Testament. But listen to what it says. Let their table be a snare. Let what they do against me be a trap to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they can't see. Pour out your wrathful anger upon them. Let their habitation be desolate, and they have no place to dwell. Persecute them. Let equity after equity come upon them. Blot them out of the book of the living, and not be written the righteous. Wow. That is not what Jesus teaches about our enemies. Jesus says to love our enemies. But what I want us to do is take this passage and think about it. Who really is our enemy? Is it the people that mock us? Is it the people that maybe are making fun of us, the people that say, those that are lost, that say, God isn't answering your prayer because he's not real, he doesn't exist. Are they a real enemy, or is not the real enemy Satan himself? Isn't the real enemy Satan and his demonic beings? So what if you take this prayer and you pray this against Satan, against the principalities and powers of darkness that are coming against you? What if you used to pray this, and listen, what if you say, Satan, you're a liar, and I am praying the judgment of God to come upon you. I pray for confusion in the enemy's camp. I pray that the demonic beings will fight against each other instead of me. I pray, Father God, that you'll bring your judgment upon Satan right now in Jesus' name. What if you started praying that way? Because Satan is truly your enemy. Now, what else could be your enemy? Listen, say you're going, you're struggling with things, and you're in the hospital, and it's you or a loved one, and it feels like no matter what you say or do, the doctors aren't listening. They can feel like enemies. Here's what I would say is, God, Please open their eyes up. Please, Lord, cause them to take on my cause. Lord, turn them around as they write us off. I pray that you see how serious this matter is. Lord, will you speak to their hearts? What if you prayed that way? Or what if it's your spouse, and your spouse is your enemy? You feel like your spouse is your enemy. They're probably acting like an enemy. Maybe they are your enemy even. But what if you take this, and as you pray a quote against them, what you pray is, Lord, I pray that you bring conviction upon my wife of the wickedness that she's doing. I pray, God, she will see the iniquities of her own life. But please, please, make sure you're looking at yourself. We're going to see that in just a moment here. But you can pray, Lord God, I pray for my husband who has been vicious and violent against me, who's turned around and abused me physically, emotionally, mentally. I pray, Father God, you show him his wicked ways. I pray that you reveal to him the wickedness in his own heart. Can you do that? In the midst of praying for your relationship, can you pray against the things that are wrong? But listen what it says, verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. Listen, you have to come to a place. I'm poor and sorrowful. You know what? I'm a weak. And what I would suggest, in the midst of what's going on, that you confess to God, God, this is where I am the problem. God, this is where I'm interfering for you to heal our relationship. God, you know what? I'm dying of cancer, but I'm smoking cigarettes. God, the cigarettes aren't really my enemy. It's me right now. I pray that I would get the victory over the cigarettes, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Now, I want you to see what happens. The psalmist now turns to another strategy. And I believe this is so critical. When you're going through tough times, when you're going through hard times, when you're not seeing answered prayer, you know what? Pray for yourself. Confess the struggles you're going through. Cry out to God. Plead with God. Go ahead and come against your enemies in the way that I believe the New Testament way to come against your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the turnaround of your enemies. But the last thing is to give God praise. In other words, God, you're going to answer my prayers. Even though I'm going through this tough time, I believe you're going to answer my prayers. Look at it. Verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord hears the poor and despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. Let's take a look. Let's go back. Let's break it down. Verse 31. These also shall please the Lord better than an... verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. What this is saying, in the midst of my trials, my tribulations, in the midst of not seeing answers to my prayer, I'm going to praise him. Lord God, I thank you that you're going to heal my daughter. Lord God, I thank you that you're going to heal me of this cancer. Lord God, I thank you you're going to heal my relationship with my husband. Lord, I thank you that you're going to set my husband free. Lord God, I thank you that my wife is going to accept Christ into her life. Lord, I thank you that you're going to you're going to heal my marriage. Lord God, I just want to sing a song to you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you praise. For you are my King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. God, you're in control, and we trust you. Now, I'm not a singer, but guess what? God took that song, and he did something with it. He's going to answer that song of praise. And then it says, verse 32, humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. It's saying that I am going to live even though I feel I'm going to die. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to worship God. I am not giving up on God. I trust him. That's giving God praise and worship. And then it says, verse 33, for the Lord hears the poor and despises not his prisoner. Listen, you may feel a prisoner to sickness or disease, a prisoner to addiction, a prisoner to pride, a prisoner to greed, whatever it is. And you're calling out to God, God, help me. Give me the deliverance that I need. Listen, the Lord hears the poor and despises not his prisoners. God doesn't despise his prisoners. He doesn't hate you. God doesn't despise you. He loves you. Because he's silent, maybe, because maybe at the time you're not seeing an answer to you or calls out to him, listen, he loves you. He does not despise you. He loves you. Verse 34, let the heaven and earth praise him. You know what? God, I praise you. I pray, God, that I will praise you along with the heavens and the earth. Lord God, I want to give you glory. Lord God, I want to give you praise. Lord, I thank you that you're watching over me. I thank you, God, that as this thing has passed from your hands unto me, I thank you, God, you got an answer. I don't know what it is, Lord. I don't know when it's going to come, but Lord, I know you have an answer for me, and I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you glory. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. Everything give him praise. I'm an everything. And so I'm going to give him praise. Now, what would happen? Listen, you have a delayed answers to prayer. For you watching, maybe you have a prayer that hasn't been answered for years. I want to share. I have some. I'm praying for my son that there be restoration. It's been years, and it has not been restoration. I get frustrated. I get irritated. I get angry. I get mad at him. At the same time, I get mad at myself for the mistakes I've made as a father in the past. At the same time, I'm mad at Satan that he turns around and he's taking my son from a relationship with Christ to my son not believing that there's really a God, or if there is a God, he's not personal. I don't even know what my son's going through. For 2 years, he hasn't talked with me. And I've been praying, and you know what? There's times I feel helpless, I feel hopeless, I don't want to pray anymore, I give up on praying, and then I feel the conviction power of God to pray for my son to intervene. Somebody needs to intervene for him. And then I turn around and I thank God that God hears my prayers, that God will answer my prayers. I believe my son's salvation is God's, in God's hands, that my son will come back to the Lord. I don't know how, I don't know when. He may have already come back to the Lord and I don't know it. And then I give God praise. Lord, I thank you that you hear my prayers. I thank you, God, that you love him more than I love him. I thank you, Lord, you want him in heaven more than I want him in heaven. And I start giving him praise. So I encourage you, I challenge you, I beg with you, when you're going through trials and tribulations, when you feel like your prayers aren't being answered, follow the principle of Psalm 69. Do what it says. It's okay. Cry out to God. It's okay. Say, God, you know what? I'm a mess right now. I'm a mess. I'm a basket case. I need your mercy, God. I need your intervention, God. And then turn around and come against your enemies. And again, your enemies, you're to love on them. And the best way you can love your enemies is pray for their salvation. Pray for their own deliverance. Pray that they would be changed. Your enemy is cancer, come against it. Take authority over the cancer. Your enemy is maybe your enemy is your neighbors. Pray that God would change them. Pray that God would transform them. Pray that they feel conviction. And then after you do all that, give God praise. Give him the praise. Give him glory. Now, I want to show you. I just want to show you that, listen, it's not about how you feel. It's about the truth of the Word of God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. And God is ever-present. How about just praise for that? God, I thank you, God. You know exactly what's going on in my situation. You know everything I'm going through, Lord. You know the fears I have. You know the worries I have. You know the doubt I have. You know the condemnation and shame I feel. You know the hopelessness I feel. But Lord, you also know that I love you. You also know that I believe your word is true, even if I don't experience it. And so God, I want to give you praise. And God, you're not only an all-knowing God, you're an all-powerful God. So God, nothing can stop you from answering prayer. Nothing can stop you from performing your perfect will in my life. So Lord God, I want your perfect will in my life. I want you, Lord God, to move in a mighty way in my life, Lord. Deliver me for what you have to deliver me from, Lord. Give me the grace and the power to walk in victory in my life. Lord, if I'm interfering with your answering my prayer, show me. I want to repent of it. And Lord, do a transforming power in my life. And Lord, I thank you that you're ever present. I thank you, Lord God, you're right here with me. I don't feel it, Lord. Right now, I don't feel your presence whatsoever, oh God. I don't feel that you even can hear me. But Lord God, I thank you that you're an ever-present God. I thank you, Lord God, you're in the midst of this room with me, Lord. And Lord, I just want to give you praise. I just want to give you glory, oh God. I want to thank you, God, that you're a merciful God. I want to thank you that you're a loving God. I want to thank you that you're a caring God. I want to thank you that, Lord God, you will answer my prayer. And Lord, if you say no, you'll give me the grace and ability to accept that no. And I know that if you say no, I know this, all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Lord, you called me. You called me, Lord, and I'm wanting to live your purpose. I'm going to walk out your calling. And Lord God, I love you with all of my heart. I'm upset, I'm hurt, I'm angry with you at times, God, but in the end of the day, I love you. I know that you rule and reign. I know that you're on my side, and I want to give you the praise, and I want to give you the glory, and I want to give you the honor, and I'm trusting you, Lord God, to work and move on my behalf, and you will get the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what if you pray like that? What if you praise like that? You don't think your faith is going to be stirred up? You don't think God's going to honor a cry like that? But like I said, His timing is perfect timing. And so it doesn't mean just because you give Him praise, you give Him honor, because you've called out to Him, that He has to answer immediately. But I can tell you, you can either do what I just shared, or you can turn around and complain that God isn't working and moving and question where He's at. And ask yourself, which one is going to more likely bring you to an answer to prayer? And so I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I want you to read Psalms 116. Lord, I pray for our viewers, Lord God. I don't know their situation. I don't know what they're going through. No idea where they live at, where they're at. But Lord, I pray that they would sense your presence right now. And that, Father God, that you would overwhelm them with your presence. And that you would fill their hearts with praise. And that, Father God, you would answer those prayer requests they have. Every request that lines up to your will, Lord God, I pray that you will answer them. And Lord, if they have selfish prayers, if they have prayers that are not according to your will, let them know that so they can repent and accept the no that you have for them. Regardless of it's a yes or no, we know this, that you are a loving
this
God.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." John 1:7 says, "You must be born again." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And Matthew 1:15 says, "Repent you and believe the gospel." Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org, and we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org.
You have been listening to There Is Hope.